Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are talking with you at 404-726-0929. Still taking your phone calls, and we will throughout the course of the show. Rise up and vent. Let us know where you're at after this big win last night over the Buffalo Bills, 24-14. And again, Bijan Robinson, the story, guys. 170 yards, a touchdown, but 238 yards from scrimmage. And as we've been talking about our team and what this win means, and it means a lot. But I'll tell you this. Early in this game, I also thought Mike Tyler Algier set the tone in his 21-yard touchdown run.
Right.
Running over another DB. And this is becoming customary. Right. He's just, get out of my way. You're not stopping me. I'm getting to the end zone. And I thought the physicality of that run, right, because Bijan's running. Here comes Algier. Boom. Touchdown. And it was like, that looked really easy. Okay, are we going to be able to do this all night? And we were.
Right. I mean, running the football, you hear guys talk about it. We have old OGs like Mark Schlereth come on the show. It's like, it's an attitude, right? And not everybody can do it. And this team, it sets the tone. Everything we want to do now, again, do we need to do more off the passing game? At times, yes. Last night was not the time. You know, salt that, as they say, salt that win away. Right? Well, pour some salt on that thing and let's run it. And that's, like I said, other than, and a couple of guys brought this up, some of those decisions to maybe throw some stuff, which didn't make a lot of sense. Penix Jr., he's got a couple back. We'll ask Dave Archer about that next segment. He nearly threw two picks, and he's got to be better with that. We still don't know why Pitts can't be a bigger factor, but hey, who's going to complain when you got one of your players going for 238 yards from scrimmage?
Can't.
You know, Bijan's a one-man gang, and Algier's the perfect complement.
Yeah, it's hard to complain about anything when you put on that kind of performance. But again, there are things we got to get better at. That's up to the coaching staff to figure out, guys. We are just telling you our observations and certainly what you saw last night. But I thought overall, again, it felt close at the end. I said this to Mike, but it was still a two-score game. It felt close because they had the ball, and you're going, here goes Josh.
Right.
He's about to go down. They're going to
score.
You
were waiting for the dot, dot, dot,
yes,
right?
Yeah, and you know, they still needed to get an onside kick. There was a lot of if factors that played out, but we were in control of this game. Reminder that 92.9 The Game and Bud Light are going to have a watch party this Sunday night, 8 o'clock at Paradise Grill in Marietta. You can watch the Falcons battle the 49ers with Turtle. Falcon, Freddie, the Falcon's going to be there. The cheer team, complete. You can compete, that is, in a Bud Light football toss to win a trip for two to Vegas and then compete for Super Bowl tickets. So that's pretty cool. Again, that is Sunday night, 8 o'clock, Paradise Grill in Marietta, right around the way from where we are, actually. And you can win Falcon tickets or an autographed Falcon item and great specials on Bud Light as well. Must be 21 years or older. Please drink responsibly. So that's something to do if you want to get out and watch the game and also have a chance to win some tickets.
I always would be kind of funny. You're hanging out and Freddie the Falcon walks up and you go, hey, how's it going? Freddie goes, hey, what's going on, dude? Because, you know, when you're a mascot, we've had mascots. It's something that's been like, and Oren's been with me as a producer and engineer for years. It's some team will bring in the mascot, and people never realize bringing a mascot on the radio really doesn't work because they're not speaking. But you know, it is always fun with Freddie because we know Freddie. We actually sometimes we'll, because you know, we know the guy or the person.
Yes,
it is Freddie, and it is kind of funny when you hear the person talk.
Who did we have in studio, Mike? You remember a couple of years back?
It was the
McDonald's.
McDonald's brought the Grimace.
You remember this?
And so we had to. It was That's the right. Shakes. They brought the Shakes. Now, we didn't actually interview Grimace, but we had photos of us, like, we're talking with Grimace and, like, coming up, Grimace blows the lid off Mayor McCheese's but bribery scandal.
But to Mike's point, it was like, Grimace is in studio, but he's not saying anything.
But anyway, maybe Freddie will talk to you at that bar. Have fun.
All right, yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun out there. Again, Paradise Grill in Marietta. All right, we've got a lot more to get to. Coming up, we've got 4th and 1. Also, Dave Archer is going to join us, and we will get to the picks.
We can go past that.
I'm sorry?
What's that? No, we don't really need that today.
A little bit later on this hour, we'll find out how everybody did last week.
Yeah, not
somebody over there cheesing a bit too hard.
I don't
right
know what
now.
You're talking about. I was going to say, sounds like a little role reversal going yeah. on in there.
What? You know, all of a sudden, you know,
for someone to be 9 games under .500,
and this is
why
the way
you put the record out there.
This is the way Carl plays golf. Carl can be, I mean, he can be absolute hot garbage off the tee, slow starter.
It happens to everybody.
And then as soon as he gets cooking, yeah, I'm in it now. Oh yeah,
these bets need to go.
And
he's literally needs to happen.
He'll start talking such ish when he's on the tee box. It's the funniest damn thing. And that's what you're doing again here.
I don't know
burn.
What two guys are talking about. We'll get to the picks
the
a little
same,
bit
man.
Later.
Being 9 games under .500 gets you fired.
Look, why are you discussing the record? I have no idea. Can we get to 4th and 1? Fourth and One is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
I mean, we're keeping a buck right now. We ask.
Please, Cam.
Well, look, the Bills were last night, but the other football game, and again, didn't watch it because we were watching our guys. Got home, watched a little bit of the highlights this morning. It looked very entertaining for those who missed it. Bears, a little payback. Remember, this was the game last year where Jaden Daniels throws that Hail Mary, and everybody's like, oh! Bears kick a field goal to win. It's 25-24. Caleb Williams, 17-29, 252 and a touchdown. DeAndre Swift, go Dawgs, 14 carries and 108 yards. But Jaden Daniels had a critical fumble late in this game. You can't put the ball on the ground.
Now, it was icky, as you said.
It was.
The weather was funky, but still.
He
couldn't make the exchange with the running back.
Yeah, he talked about it afterwards.
I just lost the ball. Completely my fault. Not even didn't give Bill a chance, so it was my fault.
Well, look, you got to take ownership. Everybody saw it. But it was also one of those situations where if they hold on to the ball, they probably win the game. And that was a critical fumble because of the timing of it. Meanwhile, what's up with the Bears, Mike? Are you buying Ben Johnson? You buying Caleb Williams?
Well, I mean, it just sometimes takes the right approach. Seems like at one point it was like, oh, he's going to be a little too hard on the Beaver. It seems like he's going to be too tough on Caleb. That's a TV reference for those who don't. Never mind. Anyway, yeah, Caleb Williams seems like he's loud and clear.
I like the Beaver.
It's a TV show in the 50s, Dave.
No, I do. It was right. A good show.
Familiar with Leave It to Beaver.
Thank you. Yeah. But the Bears are the same record as us, 3-2. Caleb Williams, economical, 17-29. you know, one touchdown and moving his feet. No, he basically stayed in the pocket. So this is maybe the discipline to do that. Let the playmakers make plays. DeAndre Swift had an amazing, you know, we talked about 55-yard catch and run. So there were some really cool things happening in this offense. So for a while, it looked like maybe in the guys were, the media was already sharpening the knives. Oh, Caleb Williams, first round pick, bust. Seems like he's got the right coach. And they had some good pieces in the offseason.
He's coming. He's coming along. I always have said that I didn't think he got coached along the way. He was just so talented. And now you have structure.
And a lot of experts thought the Commanders were going to come back to earth, and they're kind of coming back to earth.
They really are. Here's Ben Johnson talking about his locker room.
I think it says a lot about our locker room right now. They're not just believing, but now they're starting to understand that, man, if this thing's close in the fourth quarter, then someone's going to step up and make a play for us. And we had a number of guys here in this fourth quarter that did that. And so I think these wins sometimes can go more a longer way for your program than those blowouts do. So it was good to see.
We will see where the Bears end up. Meanwhile, yesterday we mentioned this, and it's still news because everybody's saying, okay, where are the Titans going? They fire Brian Callahan. He had a terrible start. First 2 years, you know, he's 1-5
we're keeping
record.
The book right now, we asked.
They were.
Please, Cam.
And so, Mike, where do the Titans go?
You know whose name popped up? Arthur Smith.
Mm.
Arthur Smith had tremendous success because he gave it to Derrick Henry, you know, back in the day. And they ran the football with Vrabel, and it was a pretty good system. That organization, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, like, as you say, someone's always going to be up for a job. There's only 32 of them. But that's a very dysfunctional franchise.
It is.
And because you flipped over general managers, and then you flipped the coaches, and so there was no continuity, and that wasn't their guy, it just seems like, man, I don't know. I do believe in Cam Ward. I haven't seen enough to even know what Cam Ward is just yet. Right?
I don't. No.
I'm not going to say he's – that's just like saying with Caleb Williams after one season. You can't say he's a bust, but you got to get the – I would imagine it's going to be an offensive-minded coach to make that work.
Yeah. Well, look, you got a young quarterback, you're right, that needs development. The other part about this is, you know, for everything that they thought Callahan was, remember, he was with the high-flying Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. And they hire him away, and this team is last in yards per game. Second worst in points per game. They're averaging 13 points a game. So the things you thought you were getting with Callahan, you didn't get. The development, it's hard to say, Mike, because, again, they just drafted Cam. You can't say in five games he didn't get the development because you didn't give him enough time. But whoever is going to be next, yes, they're going to have to deal with all of that. But I think it starts at the top. Look, you know, Bud's daughter, I think, is running that now. Bud Adams was the longtime owner. I think that's part of the problem. There's a lot of inconsistency there. But either way, it looks like an attractive job. You know, I think Randy said it yesterday. Does a stadium matter? They're getting a new stadium and all that stuff. Does that matter?
Well, I mean, it's going to be nice. It's going to steal some Super Bowls from other cities, I can tell you that. But as far as does that matter to you as a coach?
Doesn't.
I don't think it means anything.
No.
But
I'm looking at the personnel. And by the way, when they came here for our joint practices, we told you guys, this is a bad team.
Yeah, they didn't look good.
No, this is a bad team. They were a bad team last year, and they're vying for another first overall pick potentially this year with the way things are going.
You surprised that Mike Tomlin decides to take shots at the Browns general manager for trading Flacco? I mean, look, we're big fans of Mike Tomlin. Isn't that like mind your own business? Stay in your lane?
I got asked a question.
Coach, what's your problem with Barry, the GM for trade? Why can't he trade Flacco? What's wrong with that?
When he said, no, seriously, he said, right, they must be smarter than I am, I was like, oh, no, he didn't. Is he wrong, though? Why trade the guy that you start the season with when you have an influx at quarterback to begin with and you're not sure where you're going with it? The one reliable thing you could say for the Browns, whether you believe in Dylan Gabriel, by the way, he looked terrible. Did you see it?
Right.
He looked bad. They're already calling for Shador. Is Joe Flacco. It was the one thing you could say. A lot of this is bad, but at least we got a guy with experience who may give us a chance to win, and you trade him.
Right, and that's what your point, Tomlin, as you said, it didn't make sense to me. He's your opening day starter, and you move him. He goes, conversely, if you're the Bengals, it makes perfect sense. This is my opinion. That's what Mike Tomlin said. But, yeah, it did raise some eyebrows. But, yeah, I think a lot of folks around the league are like, okay. And now waiting to see, you know, if Dylan Gabriel will evolve. Or does it, I mean, I guess, like, you moved all the blocks, the impediments out of the way of Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
Because Pickett got hurt, Flacco's gone. So all of a sudden, hurdles are now disappearing. So just a matter of, at some point, we will get to see Shador Sanders in a game that matters, I would imagine.
Let me ask you guys this. Would you trade for A.J. Brown?
Ooh, what's the ask?
Are we playing to win?
I would love A.J. Brown here, and he would be so happy here.
We're playing to win, right?
He would be—he'd be getting the football a lot more than he is in Philly.
Of course, he would.
We got to take on that contract, though. We'd have some hard decisions.
We're
that
not
would mean,
paying anybody.
Well, but look at the cap. Where are you going? What you gonna do with Pitts? You gonna move on from Pitts?
We're moving
on from Algier.
We are not paying any of our offensive stars right now.
Right?
That is yet to happen.
But it's gonna happen. But I'm saying, but you gotta. And I know you can always move the money around, but you got to give Drake his extension. Drake's extension comes this year.
Yeah,
you're not gonna let him play it out.
No.
I mean, that's an insult. You're gonna give him his contract.
Yes, you are. You're gonna take care of Drake. I'm just saying. You worried about that?
You got two more years to worry about Bijan. But I'm just saying.
There's a guy.
Would I trade for AJ Brown in a heartbeat?
Me too. That's what I'm thinking.
And then we have no first round picks, but I've pretty much got everything I need.
You're playing for now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I got everything I need. I'm not worried about that. As the Rams used to say, blank those picks.
Yeah. All right. That may happen. I'm not talking about for us. We're saying A.J. Brown may be moved.
Waddle interest you?
Not as much.
Yeah.
Not as big. Not as.
A.J. Brown would be the perfect piece for this offense, man.
Yeah.
But again, it's pie in the sky, but it's worth talking about for us, man.
All right, man. Also, want to remind you guys, as we've been telling you, a guy came up to us yesterday at Signy and said, man, I think the foursomes are already gone. I said, I do not know. That's why we've been telling you. Get on Sports Radio 92.9, the game, the website for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. It's presented by our friends at Finley Roofing. It's coming up November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club. But we've been saying, go to the website and click on the events link. You got to do it now.
Yeah.
The foursomes are going quickly. All right. Just a reminder. And remember, it's a great cause, benefiting pets for vets. That's November 24th. All right. We're coming
back.
And
you can watch Carl's like slowly get his confidence going, and then the ego will be out of control by you get to 18.
My confidence on the golf club is really good right now. Dave Archer's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, we'll talk dogs with Connor Riley at 4 o'clock, rehash a little bit of the Auburn game controversy, and look ahead because Ole Miss is front and center. But we're talking about the Falcons on a Tuesday coming off the big Monday night win. Dave Archer, analyst for our Falcons, joins us. Dave, plain and simple, this was a statement game, and people are asking, all right, so is this make us legit? Are we legit? I don't know about that, but I know how badly we needed to show the rest of the country and certainly the NFL that we were going to show up in a game like this against the Bills, and boy, did we ever.
Yeah, I didn't have any question that they were going to show up and play well. Just a matter of whether you could control the defending MVP and not let him do some of the special and magic stuff that he's normally does. And you were able to do that. You know, it was a challenge, a real challenge to the defense, to play one of the more elite players in the league and the things that he brings to the table and how he elevates his offense, you were able to take a lot of that away. And it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch them frustrate him. I don't know that I've seen Josh Allen that frustrated in a game since back maybe his first couple years in the league. I thought that Jeff Ulbrich did a lot of stuff, threw a lot of stuff at him. I talked to Ulbrich on Thursday going into the game. He said, hey, they're going to make some plays on us, but we're not going to – our personalities, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to get after them. We're going to play – we're going to bring people. We're going to play man coverage, and we're going to challenge them to make plays, and we're going to get after them. And that's exactly what they did.
Arch, is everything you could ask for? I mean, as we said, if we want to get down to the finer points, maybe a little more accuracy from Michael Penix Jr., but I liked the imagination using Felipe Franks. You know, I thought, you know, getting the ball to Bijan, it's not that hard, man. You got the best player in the friggin' league, right? Let's get him the touches. But the balance with Tyler Allgeier, everything. What would one thing you would like to see from the offense that you haven't seen? Is it maybe wide receiver two emerging?
Well, I think it would be the distribution of the ball, not just to a second wide receiver, but to get more people involved in the game. Now, sometimes the game dictates you've got a matchup that they just can't handle. They couldn't handle Drake London yesterday. They couldn't handle Bijan Robinson yesterday. So go ahead and feed the beast. But you are going to have to get into games where teams are going to, as we get further along in the schedule, that are going to say, okay, we've got to make sure that number five doesn't beat us. So we're going to double him if we can. Now, the beauty of it is what Zach Robinson's doing as far as moving him around. It's hard for teams to double Drake London because he's in the slot, he's outside, they're motioning him across the formation. That's some of the brilliance that kind of goes unseen and unnoticed by the layman, is that what he's doing to free Drake London up to give him opportunities to have 16 targets in a game. Doing the same thing with Bijan Robinson. And when you got two backs, the way you have with Tyler Allgeier, where you can still have the power running game in the stretch running game with him on the field, with Bijan on the field as a receiver, all of a sudden you become very difficult to defend. But I think if I were to pick, you know, really be nitpicky here, I would like to see a little bit more distribution, a little bit more people involved. Mm-hmm. But again, sometimes the game makes that play out.
Are we done talking about the pistol, Arch?
God.
I'm just asking.
I hope so. Huh? I hope so. The guy sitting next to you was the one talking about the pistol.
Hey, I still don't like it, Arch, but okay, it's working, so I'm going to shut up.
I just felt like it was a talking point after a terrible game, and it was something that I think a lot of people around the country, and again, Dan Orlovsky called our game last night. I didn't hear it because I was at the game. I know you didn't. You were calling the game. But, you know, people were texting and tweeting me and saying, Orlovsky's talking about this pistol again. Yet we're running the ball down their throat. So I don't know. What are we supposed to think about this? We know they're not going away from it. It's effective when they execute.
Well, this just in. When the 49ers execute their offense, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, right. Shanahan's got it going. They're pretty good. You know, pick somebody. The Eagles. Everybody talking about the Eagles. Well, they're not running it well. They're not throwing it well. When you execute, you win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's part of it. And I think the thing that gets discounted a lot of times is the other side is preparing to play you, too. It's not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go through some ups and downs in games, in potential series. So you've got to be able to, you know, find different things to get to. And I think that Zach is doing a really good job of that. I don't know what the hang-up is on the formation. There's a lot of really good stuff about the formation I'm taught as a young quarterback, get the ball deep to the back, give him angles to cut back, get down the line of scrimmage. Can you play action out of it? Absolutely. Do we play action enough? Maybe not enough for some is the way, you know, because of the way we run it. I don't know. I thought we play action quite a bit last night. There was a lot of play action last night. So do you need the hard line fake? I mean, we could go in, we could get in depth about what the pistol is and isn't from a quarterback, you know, footwork perspective and all that kind of stuff. All I knew is you had 450 yards of offense last night and you held the ball for almost 32 minutes. I mean, I don't know what else you want to do. Put points on the board, kept the ball away from the MVP. Pretty good.
Talk with our man, Dave Archer. And, man, it's just fun to talk about Dubs, brother, because we sent those Buffalo Bills fans home with their tails between their legs and their goofy Zubaz pants. Arch, I thought the defense, it's sort of a sum of its parts, everybody getting a play. I mean, to see Ruka Roro, to see, you know, James Harrison, you know, had that crucial deflection at the end. I mean, they were coming from all over. Ulbrich's utilizing everybody.
Yeah, he's really put together some really good plans. And the thing that's cool about it is that group on that side of the ball has bought into their 1/11th if they're on the field of what they're supposed to do. And that's when you begin to play great team defense. Yes, you'd like to have some stars, but you've got 14 sacks now on the season, and there are 12 different guys have a hand in a sack.
Wow.
Okay, so those are half sacks, you know. So it's unbelievable how many different guys are getting around the quarterback, and then you're taking the football away. Buffalo came into the game with 5 sacks on the season. You sacked him 4 times last night, arguably one of the toughest guys to get on the ground in the league, and you took the ball away from him 2 times. He'd only threw 2 picks in the season. He threw 2 last night. So, I thought he was very confused. I thought there were a number of times that they came from directions that he didn't expect. So they certainly used their bye week to get ready for this game. But what I loved about it is they showed their teeth. They showed who they are. They played to what their philosophy is. We're aggressive. We're coming to get you.
Dave Archer joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we discuss the Falcons win last night over the Bills, guys. And look, it's a short week turnaround because we got a Sunday night game against the 49ers. The O-line, concern, Arch, with what's going on with the guys that are being shuffled in, the injury to Jake, how do you view that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't see how you can. Jake just started his 184th consecutive game at that left tackle, and you begin to take that for granted. I thought they were really good early on in the game, running the ball to the left side by and he and Bergeron. Newsle a part of that in the middle of the offense. Thought they did a good job over there. Jake going down with that ankle, don't know how severe it is. I don't have any update for you guys. I do know Storm Norton's pretty close.
Okay.
Saw him working out last week on the field. It's the first time I'd seen him on the field doing stuff, not with the team, but on the side with the trainers. So he's pretty close to being back. I thought Jarrell did a solid job coming in off the bench like that, his first chance to play. Now, he played right tackle last year in Seattle. They put him in at left tackle. It'll be interesting to see what Dwayne Ledford does up front. Wilkerson started in the preseason at left tackle, if you guys remember.
Right.
And then they moved him over to right tackle because he became the swing tackle with the Norton injury when Caleb McGarry went down. Can you move him back? Is Jarrell more comfortable at the right side? Is Storm Norton in the mix? I mean, don't forget, if you really want to throw some weird stuff in there, is Matthew Bergeron started at left tackle at Syracuse 45 straight games.
Right.
So something you want to do. So there's some versatility there, but they're playing so well together, you hate to kind of disrupt with the guy.
I guess, Arch, looking at San Francisco, Salah does a great job as a DC. We know that. And, of course, he and Olbrich know each other. Everybody knows everybody. We know Shanahan, so there's a lot of familiarity. What do they? How do you think they try to stop the run? Will that be their focus? Obviously, that'll be their focus. Because Penix, you know, I still think teams will try to make Penix beat them. Or is that too simple a way to look at it?
Well, we saw what Buffalo tried to do. Buffalo was very fearful to play too high. They wanted to play too high safeties. That's their personality. But you saw them play a lot of single high safety. And when you do that, you have to single up outside. And Drake ate them alive. And you get Bijan Robinson in the perimeter, and he's one-on-one as well. So you can't really keep that umbrella over everything. You've got guys on the perimeter that can come pressure from the sides when you're in a two-deep coverage and the safety and the corners are playing up close. What? This is a 49er team that likes to mix coverage. They will show some of the shell stuff, but you can bet that they feel like their guys are probably athletic enough to where they're going to come down, especially with Warner being out. They're going to have a little bit less experience at the linebacker spot, that they're going to have to get safeties involved up in there to make plays. So that's when you begin to experience when you've got 21 personnel in the field, two backs and a tight end. Now what do you do? Mm-hmm. Because you can still run it with Tyler Algier, and you can still got Charlie Warner, and he can do all the kind of things you're looking for from a tight end's perspective.
Right.
But now you got Bijan. You can hand it to him. You can throw it to him. We need to come to the conclusion that people are really having a tough time preparing for us.
Right.
Enough of preparing for everybody else. Mm. They're having a tough time getting ready for Atlanta.
Right on. And do you think is this I'm going to be dealing with Mooney, I guess, dealing with this injury? Do you think Mooney can bounce back? Because as I mentioned to you earlier, the only thing we've seen we're missing is just like the dynamic second wide receiver, or I guess, and getting Pitts involved. I guess the game plan didn't allow it, or from where you saw it, did Penix miss Pitts at times, or it just wasn't open?
Well, no, I think that, you know, you get a guy who gets hot. They were having a tough time handling Drake.
Right.
I think that, you know, they were having a tough time handling Bijan, whether it was running or catching the ball. So, you know, we forget that if you go put Tyler in the game, Bijan becomes your second receiver,
right,
and you still got Pitts in the game. I think that we discount him as an accomplished receiver. He had 70 yards receiving yesterday. Mm. So you kind of forget about him as being a receiver. He ran a speed out like a wide receiver, a 12-yard out route was open on the play. So don't forget about him. I think we think about him catching the ball in the flat or on checkdowns, but he's running rail routes, he's running speed out routes, he's running in routes, he's running routes like a wide receiver. So that's another piece that they have to prepare for, not just for him running the ball. Hmm.
Arch, great stuff, man. Great call last night. Feels good. Now we go on the road and try to handle business on Sunday night. Appreciate you stopping by, as always. Thank you so much.
Always good. Always good talking to you guys. Y'all take care.
Cool. You too. Dave Archer.
You and I were talking about this off the air. I mean, like I said, when you got all those weapons, sometimes Pitts maybe just not going to have the kind of night you and I want him to have.
Yeah.
Because everybody else, as Dave just pointed out, everything else was working.
It is. But last night, and again, I'd love to be in the head of our OC, you didn't have Ray McLeod. You didn't have Darnell Mooney. Like, you needed another dude to give them at least a look or two. And to throw him the ball four times, I was like, okay, I didn't get that, but it didn't matter, guys.
Right.
We ended up winning the game. Hopefully that picks up. Either way, Falcons win 24-14. More Falcons conversation on the way. But when we come back, I got a story for you.
Okay.
And picks of the week.
No, we don't have to do that.
The results.
We can skip it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go ahead and sing it.
I was just telling Orin, I was listening to this on the way in, on the Batmobile. Now listen up. She's a razor sharp. And Vince Neil ever really could sing in the first place. Now he can't sing at all, of course, but good drumming.
His voice is gone, huh? His voice is gone?
Well, take a listen. Is this instrumental or no? It's instrumental. Uh-oh. But yeah, he's just. I interviewed one time in Fort Myers on the radio. Hey, this is Vince Neil. You're listening to Mike Bell. Nice guy. But anyway, there's your Motley Crue stroll down memory lane here on Dukes of Bell.
Hey man, Arch just joined us. Thanks to John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. They are experienced, and you can get the strong arm. Thanks for Arch jumping in and talking to Falcons with us, man. We appreciate you guys. Listening as always, and today's been a lot of fun. It always is when this team wins, but more importantly, in a big game situation like that,
right.
Mike said we kept waiting, a lot of fans, for the .. right? The blocked field goal was one of those moments where you're going, oh, here we go.
Now, how much of that is on Parker Romo? Is it because the Marquise ones, we've talked about how bad special teams have been for the Falcons, and we'll ask Coach about it.
Mike, it's the one constant.
Right.
It's been bad.
And look, I can hear somebody in his car right now. Mike, boy, there you go. There's somebody fired. But, I mean, you're holding people to a standard. You know, after that debacle in Carolina, Ike Hilliard got.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Marquise has been here since 21. But, I mean, it's been a continuous problem for this team throughout the season.
Now,
special teams gaffes.
It has. And I'll say this. When that field goal got blocked, yes, I was hot. I was frustrated because I was like, here we go, to your point. But I've seen more blocked field goals this season than I've ever seen pretty much in my entire NFL life. Like, it is happening more frequently this year, and games have ended that way.
They're going longer and deeper now than they used to as far as the field goal kick, so the trajectory now becomes an issue. But that was not, like, an impossible kick.
No. I just think the way that teams are
approaching
the defensive side of things, the way they're coming after these kicks, that's what's changed, and you're seeing more teams block them. But, yeah, if you're going to say that was the one downer last night, it didn't affect the game, thank God. But, yeah, like come on. Those are points on the board. We're not stressing at the end of that game as much as we were. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. Coming up, as we mentioned, Connor Riley's going to join us. Mike, we got to get to the picks, but before we do, I got a quick story.
What happened?
So last week, I forgot to even mention this. Maybe it was Friday, Thursday, I don't know, one of the nights. Michelle and I were out on Canton Street, which was where we were,
right?
At Loyal Tavern.
Great Day spot. Day. What a great vibe that is up there.
So we were at another place, just literally two spots down, okay? It's called Lola's, and they had a little pop-up bar for Halloween. We do all these little pop-up bars around town. A lot of places do this stuff.
Right.
And they change the vibe of their bar, and they, you know, do Halloween decorations. It's really cool, and they have great drinks. So we went up to Lola's, and we're sitting upstairs, and we're, you know, mind our own business, and we enjoy our meal, enjoy the drinks, and this lady is eyeballing me.
Hey, now.
Just continuously eyeballing me.
Like basically undressing you with her eyes?
I felt like, why are you eyeballing me, son? Like she's looking, and I'm like, is she looking at me? Is she looking through me? You know that.
Looking
feeling.
Longingly?
Yeah, no. It's just looking like either I know him, I don't know him, maybe I know him. Is he that guy? Like,
not looking like Arsenio Hall in Coming to America.
Okay, great. That's a good
example.
I'm
going to eat you alive.
That's a good example. No, it wasn't.
Tear you up.
He wasn't like that. When they're in the club. No. So I finally, we get ready to leave, and she walks over, and she says, excuse me. I'm like, uh-oh. Are you? And Michelle starts laughing. And I said, yeah.
I'm Coach Mike Tomlin.
And she goes, I am Jenny. My husband is Jerry, and Jerry listens to you guys every day. And Jerry came by Loyal Tavern a few weeks ago when you guys were there. And I said, he told me his wife worked literally down the street. I didn't know it was like two spots over.
Right.
And so a big shout out to Jenny and Jerry. So anyway, she took a picture for her husband, Jerry, and she was like, look who I'm with. And I was like, no wonder she couldn't figure out, because I had, you know, I looked, I had a hat on and all this stuff. She didn't know if it was me or not. It's a little dark, dim. And anyways, great spot. Lola's on Canton Street. And anyways, Jenny, thank you guys for the great service. But her husband, Mike, every time we're out and about, he usually comes out. And he's come up to when we're up and coming. What's Buffalo's
Cafe?
Oh,
yeah, Buffalo's right there off of 400.
So he's come up there. He's followed us around, man. But a big shout out to those folks. But it was just weird and funny when you know somebody's looking at you. You're like, okay, is this person looking at me? What's the deal? But she was trying to figure out if I was him. And she didn't want to send a picture to say, is that Duke's? Like,
right.
I think he's here.
And you take the picture, it's weird.
It's weird.
Right.
So anyways, great spot. But I just want to give them a shout out. Now, let's get to business. Okay.
Thanks for stalling. I thought we could get through this whole segment without bringing up me going,
I was not
going
to talk that long.
And three.
Day-Day, tell us about the picks.
Well,
he is so anxious about it this week.
What are you talking about?
You got to let everybody know, man.
You know what I'm doing here, which is trying to stall and you know, move on from
why
the
are you stalling? You've been on fire.
You did the same stuff for basically the first 6 weeks. Now
I don't remember anything.
Now all of a sudden,
you're living in witness protection. We're literally you want nobody to see you. Yeah,
you're trending up, and I'm going the opposite direction. We're two ships going in different directions.
Yeah, you guys are literally almost neck and neck.
I'm a ship which is sinking. You're a ship which is going.
All right, what's it look like, Daniel?
All right, so we'll start from the bottom and work our way up.
Oh, started from the bottom. Yeah, now I'm here.
Yeah,
from the root to the fruit.
And I mean, as in results, it would be Mike going 0-3.
Oh.
This weekend. Yeah,
you guys ought to jump on Indianapolis and you turds.
Well, no, you guys jumped on the Colts after I jumped on the Colts, and that
baloney.
Just sank all three of us.
I jumped on them, and y'all jumped on them after me.
No, stop it.
So y'all keep jumping on these teams together then. That seems to work.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
I jumped on it on Tuesday.
Yeah. The Colts won. What was the spread?
The spread was
6.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually 7.5.
But is that Live for American Hustle?
No, it dropped.
That
it
thing
was six.
That's not going to look good for you, that thing.
All right. So, Mike, he took the Colts. He also took the Cowboys. Yeah, that didn't go well.
That freaking game. Just when you think the Cowboys are
so turning. So now you hate the Cowboys.
I always hated the Cowboys. I just felt that they turned the corner, and then now you realize, they haven't. Their defense is horrible.
Yeah. And then he took UNLV. And then he took UNLV.
Can I ask about the UNLV? I was not here on Friday. I sent them my picks.
They were 5-1 against the number going into this week.
I watched that game in real time, the game stats, and just laughed. I was like, oh, Mike.
I know.
Yeah.
It was basically a back and forth battle with Air Force all day. So they never really, maybe for one quarter, and ever looked like they were going to cover.
So they won, just didn't cover.
They won, but didn't get the cover.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Again, guys, this is ATS against the spread.
A lot of points scored in that game. A lot of points.
All right. Orin, he was next up with going 1-2. He hit on the under with Texas and Oklahoma.
Comfortably.
But
defensive struggle, man.
Yeah, but he took the Broncos at 6.5 versus the Jets.
Nine sacks, man, and only won that game by 2 points.
By the way, that football game set the league back about a decade.
It was bad.
Yeah,
and I heard Andy Randy talk, I think Steakhouse, or they were talking about it. Zeno might have brought it up, but it's just like that's what we export.
Yeah,
this is what people go to. Europeans, again, it's like we said about the Georgia Auburn game.
You'd watch product.
The last 2 minutes of the first half, you never watch football again.
I'm glad you mentioned Zeno's name. I got something on him after we get to Carl on the top.
Is he cheerleading again?
We'll tell you.
Carl said that. I didn't say that.
No, you were thinking it.
All right, so next up was myself. I did hit with the Bucks 3. Because Mike made me take it at 3, even though I called it early in the week at 2.5.
Oh, so Mike made you move the number.
Yeah, he made me move the number.
We go with the number on the day.
I think we need to revisit that.
I agree.
We split the baby on that.
Well, he's got all these services he's
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
And he's always like, I got this service.
If I had a service, I'm getting my money back.
Well, either way, I lucked up.
Hey,
I hit on that one. Unfortunately, like everyone else, Oren and Mike jumping on my Colts after I jumped on it.
I jumped on it when it was at 6.5.
It was still after I jumped on it.
Because they were like, hey, Kyler Murray's not throwing the starters in practice. There's a chance that Jacoby's going to play. And I was like, cool.
What was your record?
I went 2-1 I also hit barely, my goodness, Alabama. I hit on the under 51.5 in that matchup.
Just barely on that one.
I mean, barely. Yeah. Like, Missouri goes down, kicks a field goal to win the game. I'm toast.
Right. And Missouri, I thought, you know what, that's a team which, even though now you're okay, they lost. Don't sleep on those guys. Now, their schedule was pretty easy before Alabama.
Yeah.
Now they get into, like, everyone meat grinder SEC schedule, Carl, week after week. But if Mizzou, if that's their only loss, they're in the playoffs. Right?
All right, and then on top of the mountain this week.
I'm sorry, who's that?
The one and only Carl Dukes.
And by the way, I must say.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Not to blow smoke. There was an elegance and simplicity in Carl's picks. And I don't think you sweated any of these games.
I really didn't.
No, he took Tulane, which he took that on Friday.
That's right. That was a Thursday night game, actually.
I think I called these the training wheels of picks on Friday,
Yeah. So they covered. He also took Clemson over covering against D.C.
Yes, Stakey.
Oh, and getting some help on that one, huh?
Well, I'm just trying to help our crew out.
It's out there in the ether. You got to pick it up. You got to pick it up,
and
man.
And then this one, you know what? This was a good pick because I thought Michigan was going to get back on that. But he took USC.
Keep it coming.
2.5 over Michigan, and they cover. And I was very – that was
– Well, here's the deal. They score a lot. And they're really good, and I think people underestimated them. They thought Michigan was just going to run the football on these guys.
Yeah.
USC is going to be in the mix in the Big Ten.
They lost their two top starting tailbacks in that game.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I don't think they're better than Ohio State, but in this game, I felt really good about it, and I was right. Clemson, by the way, are we still what's the deal?
No. I mean, the BC is just bad.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so with that being said, our records are now Carl at 7-14.
Don't call it a comeback.
Mike at 8-13.
I'm only one game ahead of you.
Oren at 10-11.
I'm only three games up on him right
and
now.
And me, myself, at 12-9. Now, on to Mark Zeno real quick.
What's up, Z?
So you guys remember Squid kind of threw out an impromptu challenge about their picks would be better than any other show's picks.
And Mike said something about their entire show doesn't pick, though.
Right, and then I put the note on the door. Well, apparently he kind of somewhat accepted the challenge.
Okay.
Right. But then everyone pointed out to me when I got here today that Mark Zeno in tiny, tiny print put his picks would beat everyone's butt.
I don't know who Zeno's conned to get on TV.
You can start the music
he's
now.
He's become a gambling expert.
Now, like,
all right.
What a little brother type statement that is, right?
I will beat all of you guys.
Zeno put that down.
He put in tiny, tiny fine.
I guess he's leading the pool at the base, I guess. But good for him.
Such little brother energy, man.
Mike, mind you, I heard Zeno do one of his pick calls and then get it all wrong.
He got it wrong.
But again, Zeno is so bad at his picks, but the funny is, it's the conviction, like Fricky, we're going to have four NFL teams in Europe. What? Oh, yeah, it's coming. Oh, we'll have this by the end of the decade. I mean, so the same thing is, you got the conviction the confidence in what he's saying, although it's not working.
If you speak loud enough, people will believe you. This coming from
a guy who called a strike on my son and the ball was 3 feet above his head.
Zeno did this?
He was
umpiring.
I have the picture.
Oh, that's
I have
great.
The video and picture.
Oh, and you know what? He will argue that till his death.
My God.
There's a strike. There's a strike.
Listen. Even the other team did one of those. Ooh.
All right. Look, Zeno, if you want to send us a pick.
Yeah. Give us your picks, man. Give us your lock of the week.
Yeah, that's what I want from you since you
want
to put it in small.
You know what? We can call it the cannoli. We can call it Zeno's cannoli.
I love it.
How about that?
I like it. Let's do that. All right. He's listening.
Or Zeno's spirit fingers.
Mike said it, not us.
See?
Mike.
Well, what did I say?
You
he
said
was
it first.
Thinking it. Did I tell you that first? I told you were thinking it. Coming up, we're going to talk to Connor
Riley. Don't get us all in trouble.
Dog Nation. All right. Was it a controversy? Was it not? Dogs win against Auburn, and now they've turned their attentions to Ole Miss. We got a lot to chop up with Connor next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
what
people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.